My first guest in this edition is Josh Goodman, Director of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. Josh is an expert on the Middle East crisis and joins me now to talk about Monday's meeting between President Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House. And Josh, it's great to have you with us.
It's always a pleasure, Greg.
Obviously, both of these gentlemen are new to their positions, although Netanyahu is a former prime minister as well. What do we know about their working relationship and just where they seem to agree and disagree on the key issues, just in terms of a working relationship? We know that Netanyahu dealt relatively well with Bill Clinton. Are we going to be able to see the same thing here?
Well, I think their ability to work together will be quite good. Netanyahu, as you said, worked well with Bill Clinton, and I think it was in part because both are excellent orators. And I think in that regard, he'll get along with President Obama. Moreover, Benjamin Netanyahu is the son of a well-known historian. He perceives himself as an intellectual, as does President Obama. So I think in terms on a personal level and on an intellectual level, there's much to agree on. When it comes down to the issues, while they may actually agree on most of the issues, it's the focus of the meeting that has always been the point of difference between them. And President Obama has said he wanted to focus on the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, which he sees as being a critical issue in the overall push for peace in the Middle East and for regional stability and for combating Iran. Conversely, Prime Minister Netanyahu made it pretty clear, as did his advisors, that they wanted the focus of the meeting to be Iran and talk about nothing more than Iran. And in that regard, I think they differ greatly.
Let's talk about each of those, starting with the situation in Iran, because clearly Netanyahu today saying that he believes is the greatest threat to Middle Eastern stability. Obviously, Obama approves a diplomatic approach to this, and Netanyahu wanted some sort of timetable to achieve something diplomatically. How are the two going to find common ground there? Because clearly Netanyahu fears the future of his nation could be at stake here.
Certainly. For Israel, it is an existential question. And I think in terms of how Netanyahu fared here, I don't think he got exactly what he was looking for. Yes, President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu issued very strong statements against Iran, but the message was pretty clear from the American side that let's not set artificial deadlines of sorts, artificial timetables. And that may highlight a difference of opinion between the Israeli and American intelligence assessments as to how far along the Iranian program is, or it may just be a reflection of President Obama's desire to really give diplomacy a chance. From the Israeli perspective, time is, I think, a lot shorter than from the U.S. perspective. And I think you're going to see Israel become more aggressive in its rhetoric because there may be a growing sense that Israel is, in a way, going in it alone right now because the U.S. is focused on getting diplomacy moving forward. And when you're trying to bring a diplomatic effort forward, your harsh rhetoric tends to disappear. Being antagonistic is never really the best approach for a strong diplomatic effort. So I think in that regard, they do have a differing of opinion. But as a fundamental basis, they both agree that it is a critical issue. Although obviously the U.S. can't perceive in the same way that Israel can because of the existential nature of it for the Jewish state.
And Josh, you mentioned that the timetable is shorter, whether fixed or unfixed for the Israelis. We know that in the later months of the Bush administration, that Israel actually basically asked for permission for a strike against Iran, denied both times. Is that something that the Israelis will want permission for, or will it get to the point where if they think the threat is real and imminent enough, they'll do it regardless of whether they get approval from Washington?
Well, I think it's smart on a diplomatic level to always have permission from your strongest ally, and that way you ensure that the U.S. has your backing for in the case of an Iranian response, and we don't know what an Iranian response would be to the attacks. I think for Israel, because of the existential nature of the question, Israel will go regardless of whether the U.S. supports them or not. They're willing to risk the relationship between Israel and the U.S. If it means that if abandoning any chance of stopping Iran's nuclear program was put at stake, I think they would choose the option of attacking. But the question then becomes, how feasible is the attack? If the attack is, you know, there's only a 10% chance that it will succeed, then I think at that point maybe there is another strategic calculation. But if they do think they have a chance of actually hurting Iran's nuclear infrastructure through an attack, then I don't see any reason why they wouldn't go, even if the U.S. opposes it.
Well, we're talking with Josh Goodman, who is the Director of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. And Josh, as you mentioned, the other major topic of conversation and the one the president wanted to focus on more than the other is the situation in the Middle East and hoping to jumpstart some sort of peace process. The president is clearly in favor of a two-state solution, and Netanyahu hasn't necessarily said he wouldn't do that, but he also hasn't endorsed the idea. So how far apart are the two sides on this?
Well, I think for Netanyahu's perspective, there could be two reasons driving this. One, he may not see the time being right for peace process. The Palestinians are split between Hamas and Fatah. There's no unity government. There's no common voice for the Palestinian people, and it's very difficult to make peace with a single entity when the entity itself is divided into two. And at the same time, you know, there's no Palestinian leadership willing to make that concession. So the likelihood that there's going to be a real peace process, and I know President Obama spoke about historic opportunities, I don't read the situation as being as such right now. So from his perspective, it may not have been worth wedding himself to a process that is bound to fail, given how many Israeli prime ministers have done so and suffered in the polls. And it's important to also remember that many of Netanyahu's strongest coalition allies in his Israeli government, and he is in a minority position as a party and has to rely on the support of other parties to stay in power, many of them are either against the two-state solution or are skeptical of a two-state solution or at least skeptical of wedding oneself to a two-state solution. So I'm not quite sure whether he was doing it because he's just skeptical of the overall situation or he was trying not to infuriate his partner so early on in his coalition government. And his government is very fragile, as governments in Israel tend to be.
And Josh, at this point, given the fact that Hamas is in control of Gaza and they're kind of on the outs in terms of the diplomatic relationship that we're trying to foster there, we're willing to work with the established Palestinian leadership, Mahmoud Abbas and so forth. Are we looking, if we even get to a two-state solution, that the West Bank alone would be the other state, or would we have to include Hamas and Gaza as part of that deal?
It's a very difficult question. It's unclear. It's always been unclear whether a Palestinian state could function with half in the West Bank and half in Gaza. Could you actually have a unified state when geographically they are separated? There's no simple answer to that question. And now, given that Hamas controls Gaza and Fatah controls the West Bank, there are some people talking about a three-state solution. But you know, then you have to question whether Gaza is a viable state on its own. It doesn't have many resources. It doesn't have many established industries. You could turn it into another Dubai or another Singapore, but that would require Israel to allocate much of the security structure to the Palestinians itself, and it's very unlikely in the near future that they'll do so. They'll always want some sort of oversight to ensure that weapons are not being smuggled in. It's a very difficult question as to whether a two-state solution involves Gaza and the West Bank together, or we're looking at something separate. There's no real answer right now, but I think that's why the focus probably should be on rebuilding the Palestinians as a single entity before you can move forward with the Israelis.
A couple minutes left with Josh Goodman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. And Josh, one of the other things we heard about today is that President Obama was upset and relayed as such to Prime Minister Netanyahu about renewed construction on Israeli settlements in the West Bank. What do we know about that?
Well, Israel has continuously built up its settlements. That's not a secret, nor is that something they really deny. And this has gone consistently throughout the history of Israel. Even the more dovish governments, including Rabin's government that signed the Oslo Protocols, has seen settlements continuously built under their reigns and usually with some government assistance. It is a big issue. Then there's two questions in terms of settlement construction. Is it settlement construction that is the expansion of just existing settlements that are, of course, going to end up in Israel proper when a final peace settlement is reached? And those are specifically the settlements right around Jerusalem, which no one claims that Israel will really abandon in any final settlement. Or is it settlement expansion in sort of the heavily populated Palestinian areas that have been seen as more of an effort for land grab. That's what needs to be figured out. Just saying that they're expanding settlements is not a clear form of criticism. If Israel is expanding settlements in Palestinian territories where Palestinians are heavily populated, where there's no chance that Israel proper will ever reach to those geographic areas, then I think you have certainly merit for criticism. So it's a difficult question, but I certainly think this will be a contentious issue throughout the course of the Obama presidency.
And real quickly, almost out of time here, Josh, even though Netanyahu says he's ready to restart the peace process, is he basically focused on dealing with the Iran threat before he gets real serious about the Middle East peace process?
Yes, I think that's the primary issue for Israel. I don't think they see a need to move forward with the peace process, nor would I even recommend doing so, because moving forward with the peace process, if it fails, will lead to additional violence in the Palestinian territories and become an additional security threat to Israel. And right now, Israel should be focused on its primary security threat, and that is Iran.
Josh, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for your time.
Always a pleasure.
Josh Goodman is Director of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is Dateline Washington.